This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan here on your home of the Cowboys. Sunday's pregame at 4 o'clock with Chiafalo and Broadus. The kickoff at 7:15. It'll be a great NFL Sunday here with you on The Fan. We have play-by-play, we have talk shows, and we have the pregame show again starting at 4 o'clock. And for more on this matchup, Mike DeFabo writes for the Athletic there covering the Steelers in Pittsburgh, joins us now here on The Fan. And a good evening, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's great to talk with you and get your insights about this team. What kind of weather are we looking at Sunday night? We're seeing possible thunderstorms?
Yeah, that was actually something I was going to bring up. My wife, coincidentally enough, works at the local NBC affiliate, and so she's a huge weather hound and news hound, and she was telling me, look, there very well could be a weather delay in this game, not just rain, but possible thunderstorms that delay things. So that definitely can impact things when you've got a passing team like Dallas coming into town, a team like the Steelers that wants to run the football, and then the uncertainty of the possible weather delay. So that's definitely something we'll have to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, now speaking of running the ball, are the Steelers prepared and capable of taking advantage of this Cowboys run defense? How determined are they to make sure this comes off right?
Yeah, the way I've been describing it here in Pittsburgh is the Steelers are committed to run the football, and they've run the ball. They have more attempts than any other team in the league right now. But just because they're running the ball a lot does not mean that they're running the ball effectively. If you look at some of their per carries numbers, they're actually near the bottom of the league in a lot of metrics. And especially when it comes to running the ball on first down, it's been like ramming their heads into a brick wall. And that was especially the case in Indianapolis. And, you know, this is a team with Arthur Smith, new offensive coordinator in his first year. You know, he definitely has a personality and an identity and a reputation for running the football that meshes well with the Steelers' ground and pound roots. And, you know, there's old school matchups with the Dallas Cowboys back in the day. You know, a lot of Steelers fans, yinzers here in Pittsburgh, were hopeful that this was going to be a team that was going to be able to lean on a great defense and effective running game. But to this point, the yards per carry is just not there. So, you know, I look at this as another real opportunity, especially with as banged up as the Dallas defense is and with some of their numbers statistically and their struggles defending the run. This could be an opportunity for the Steelers to get their ground game back on track. But until they do that, there's going to be a level of skepticism, and they're also dealing with a number of injuries on the offensive line that could impact things.
Yeah, what more can you share with us about the offensive line? Because I think that's been one of the things from a Cowboys standpoint, how banged up they are, but maybe the Steelers are also pretty banged up on their line.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, over the last 2 years, the Steelers have made a concerted effort to bolster the offensive line. They brought in Andy Weidel as their assistant GM, and he was kind of Howie Roseman's right-hand man in Philadelphia, helping to build through the trenches and build that offensive line to be kind of the anchor of the team. So the Steelers took a very similar approach. Last year, their first-round pick was tackle Broderick Jones out of Georgia. This year, the Steelers spent first-round pick on a tackle in Troy Faletonu, second-round pick on a center in Zach Frazier, and a fourth-round pick in a guard in Mason McCormick. The disappointing thing for the Steelers has been both of those first-round picks have been disappointing in different ways. Broderick Jones, last year's first-round pick, he's now at right tackle, and he's really weathered ups and downs and inconsistencies. And then this year's first-round pick, Troy Faletonu, he's out for the year with a knee injury. So, you know, that's caused some moving pieces on the offensive line. The Steelers also lost James Daniels, one of their starting guards. So the good news from a Steelers perspective, I know I just threw out a bunch of names at you, Isaac Seumalo, who's probably their best offensive lineman, he plays left guard, he's going to come back after injuring his pec in the preseason. So this will be his season debut, and he's a significant difference maker for him, for the Steelers. You know, the Steelers have been missing his veteran leadership. They've also just been missing his physical dominance and, you know, the ability that he has to open up the run game. So, you know, they're going to, at left guard, get one stud back, but at right guard, they're going to be starting a rookie in Mason McCormick. So, you know, one guard in, one guard out for the Steelers, and we'll see how it goes.
Mike DeFabo here from The Athletic, talking Steelers with you in the G-Bag Nation. Health has been a big factor for the Cowboys. How big of a role is it here for the Steelers going into this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's significant. And I can just, you know, I talked about the injuries on the offensive line, and that's an ongoing thing. But on the defensive side of the ball, one key piece that they're missing is Alex Highsmith. You know, everybody knows about T.J. Watt and how he can wreck a game. You know, he's Batman, and his Robin is Alex Highsmith from the other side. And now with him going down, some Steelers fans were actually excited because they had a second-year guy in Nick Herbig who has been pretty promising when he's been given the opportunity. Unfortunately, he injured his ankle in the last game as well and has been limited throughout the week. So, you know, that's one big question for the Steelers is, like, teams love to double T.J. Watt. They love to chip him. And Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Colts, did a fantastic job of game planning to completely take T.J. Watt out of the equation. You know, he didn't have a single tackle in any form, let alone a sack or a negative play. So, you know, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I kind of follow that similar script. You know, what can you do to limit T.J. Watt, don't allow him to wreck the game, double him, chip him, you know, give him plenty of attention, and make some of these other edge rushers that the Steelers have that are less proven beat you.
One thing that really troubles the Cowboys are teams with a defense that can get home with four. They stop the run with the light box and play coverage. It's actually been kryptonite for Dak. How's that align with, you know, Pittsburgh's defensive scheme?
Yeah, that's kind of the way the Steelers like to do things. And, you know, that was a big point of focus when the Steelers played another veteran quarterback in Kirk Cousins week one. And that's really been their approach, is if they can, they want to try to generate pressure with four. So, you know, that's going to be a little bit different and a little bit challenging now with some of the injuries that they've had. And, you know, we'll see if they're able to do it. You know, last season, Cam Hayward, interior defensive lineman, very beloved here in Pittsburgh, he was injured throughout the season, and you know, even when he was on the field, he wasn't 100%. He's back and has been generating a pass rush, which helps that you're not just getting it off the edge, but you're getting an interior push as well, especially with a mobile quarterback like Dak. That's always an important factor here. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes, but that definitely is very much the Steelers' identity. And then in terms of pass coverage, you know, I look at that as one critical matchup because The Dallas Cowboys near the top of the league in passing yardage, passing attempts, and the Steelers have made a number of changes in their secondary. You know, they did it in a personnel standpoint, bringing in a guy like Dante Jackson, who now plays opposite Joey Porter Jr. at outside corner, and then they brought in another safety in Deshaun Elliott. And what that's allowed them to do is play Minkah Fitzpatrick, one of the stars of their defense, more in center field. And so, you know, to this point, the Steelers had cleaned up the explosive plays that plagued them last year. And it looked like they had taken a significant stride, and that was one reason they went from sixth best scoring defense last season to, until last week, they were number one in scoring defense. But that big play problem reared its ugly head for the Steelers against the Colts. They hit on a number of chunk plays. And so this will be a big test now and a bounce-back opportunity for the Steelers' secondary. And they had all those moving pieces. They had the changes. This should be better from a schematic standpoint and a personnel standpoint based on those changes. But we're going to have to wait and see if the Steelers are able to do it against the Cowboys.
Hey, Mike, I was looking at the Steeler film and, you know, getting ready for our pregame show here. And I was curious, there was a game where they had – where Porter and Jackson were playing – opposite sides, like 50% of the game. And then maybe the next game it wasn't so much. Was there any rhyme or reason why that they flipped these corners? Because usually in college you play boundary corners or field corners. Is there anything that you can give us any idea of why the corners play opposite sides or, you know, flip sides?
Sure. So Joey Porter Jr. is their best corner. So it was interesting last year where it took until about midseason for him to start playing. But he quickly proved himself to be the top guy. And so, you know, what sometimes the Steelers will go left corner, right corner. And the way they look at it, with a right-handed quarterback, your left cornerback, the defensive left, that's going to be the guy that's targeted most often. So that's typically Joey Porter Jr. Now, the other thing I'll tell you is, historically, the Steelers are very much a man team. They like to play more man than most.
A lot of zone now, yeah.
Right, and that's changed a bit. Now it's mostly a cover three type team. Yeah. But when there have been instances when the Steelers have asked Joey Porter Jr., basically, look, this is your guy. You're going to try to take the opponent's top receiver out of the game. And I don't think that's going to be the game plan this week with CeeDee Lamb, but there are going to be a number of opportunities when the Steelers are in man coverage, that's going to be the matchup. They're going to put Joey Porter Jr., their best guy, on CeeDee Lamb, the best receiver from Dallas who's healthy right now. And that'll be a five-star type matchup every time those guys go head-to-head.
Mike, the Athletic had the anonymous player poll, and one player was quoted as saying of the Pittsburgh locker room that it smelled like urine. Can you confirm?
Well, see, I think he was talking about the visitors' locker room at Acrisure Stadium. So I haven't been in there quite as much. I cannot confirm that. And I was trying to figure out maybe that's a good thing. Like if the Steelers are scaring their opponents so much that they're peeing down their leg before they even get out there, maybe that's a positive. But I found that comment to be quite humorous as well.
Has this really just become Justin Fields' team?
It's a fascinating subject because, the way I looked at it, the Steelers kind of gave themselves two options. And I was a bit skeptical on both guys, wondering if either one could be the answer. And the way I look at it is, like, you have to examine the trajectory of both guys' careers right now. You know, Russell Wilson, even if he is maybe a little bit of a better passer, right now he has an injured calf, and twice over the last five seasons he led the league in sacks. So you put an immobile Russell Wilson back there who's still recovering from an injury, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. And on the flip side, you know, Justin Fields is only 25 years old. Obviously, things did not go the way that anyone had hoped in Chicago, but Arthur Smith has really called a conservative-type game plan. I think he's giving Justin some easy reads. He's highlighting his mobility in a number of ways. He's throwing easier, completable passes to the sidelines. And as a result, Justin has the best numbers in virtually every stat, completion percentage, passer rating, interceptions are down. So the way I look at it is, like, the Steelers – needed a long-term answer at quarterback, and these two guys were kind of like a Band-Aid solution. If you could find out that one of these guys is the answer in the long term, I would keep rolling with them. And I'm not convinced either one is that, but if there's going to be one of these two guys, I think it's probably going to be a 25-year-old Justin Fields rather than a 35-year-old Russell Wilson.
Mike, I know you live with this team, but just watching your tape, is Patrick Queen struggling a little bit with some of his play?
Yeah, I mean, he was an interesting guy because coming in here this offseason, the Steelers aren't a team that's known for spending big in free agency, and he actually broke records in terms of an outside free agent that the Steelers brought in. And so with the tradition of linebacker play in Pittsburgh, there was a very high bar for him, and I don't think he's cleared that to this point. And, I think he's been okay in coverage and not quite as impactful when it comes to the run game. And, I just wonder if maybe more time within the defense he'll get more comfortable, or if maybe the Steelers getting their hands on him a little bit more, understanding his skill set, they can help him play to his strengths. You know, one thing he hasn't done a lot of right now is blitz. You know, as we were talking about earlier in this conversation, the Steelers try to generate pressure with four. You know, he's known as a very, very good blitzer. That's part of his DNA. I wonder if maybe that could be a way to kind of get him going. But you're saying actually exactly the same things that radio hosts in Pittsburgh are saying. You know, they spent all this money on a guy. We'd like a little bit more splash.
Okay, it's Mike DeFabo here of The Athletic talking Steelers out of Pittsburgh here. Does Pittsburgh, the city, hold Mike McCarthy as one of their, like, football sons they're proud of?
They do. They do, definitely. I think Pittsburgh – Pittsburgh is not that dissimilar, I think, than Texas, where, I remember growing up, it was like I played a football game in junior high on a Thursday. I went to my brother's football game on a Friday. I went to a college football game on a Saturday, pro game on a Sunday. So it's all football here. And anyone who's raised in that atmosphere, who goes on and does good things, Pittsburgh will always call them one of their sons. So it'll definitely be a nice reunion for him to come back to Pittsburgh, and people are very proud of what he's been able to accomplish.
So as a Cowboy fan going into enemy territory there in Pittsburgh, how venomous is this hatred towards the Cowboys from Steeler fans with the history there?
You know, I think it depends. Like if you ran into an old Yinzer in the parking lot, he might have some choice words for you, but people of a younger generation, I think that rivalry has kind of died down. You know, these two teams don't see each other quite as much. I think it's almost like a respect thing. Like, hey, we're a franchise that, prides ourselves on Steeler Nation, and we feel like we have fans all around the world. And you go to any opposing stadium, and you see the terrible towels. And I think Dallas is very much the same way. You know, they call them America's team for a reason. You'll find Dallas Cowboys fans probably in Pittsburgh. just because of the strength of that brand and what that team means to the whole, United States. So I like this matchup in the sense that it's two premier historical franchises, tons of fans. So there'll be tons of people watching, and hopefully it'll be a great game.
And is this word you've used, is this Yenzer? Does that mean old guy?
Yenzer. So, let me educate you guys. This is perfect. So, y'all say y'all.
Yeah.
Like the plural you. So, in Pittsburgh, it's like the plural you. So, Yenz, Y-I-N-Z. And then it's kind of like a joke because basically everybody has like an old uncle who says Yin seriously, but then everyone here who's younger says it kind of ironically as a joke, kind of tongue in cheek. So
like you're
yeah.
a boomer.
Right. Yeah, well,
kind of
a bit. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of along those lines.
Would you want Mike McCarthy as the Steelers coach? Speaking of a Yinzer?
Maybe at some point. I would have liked him as an offensive coordinator here. I think the Steelers love their reunions. It seems like this is a place that you can always go home. Like Ryan Shazier is now back as an assistant coach. Ike Taylor is around the organization. Ryan Clark stops in. So it seems like if you're from Pittsburgh and you've ever been in the city, you have a place with the Steelers. So, if things ever went poorly for him or he decided that, he wanted a change of scenery, I'm sure that the Steelers would welcome him with open arms.
Thank you so much, Mike. Enjoy the game, and we'll look forward to catching up with you another time.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show.
You got it. Yeah, maybe another 4 years or so.
Yeah.
Maybe a Cowboys-Steelers Super Bowl. That'd Wouldn't be that fun. Be something?
Yeah. That would be.
Maybe not this year, but in the not-too-distant future. Thanks to Mike DeFabo of The Athletic for stopping by and talking Steelers football with us. It's good to know Mike's respected,
Yeah.
Hasn't spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh as a professional, but definitely a guy that is known as a Pittsburgh dude and football country indeed. Sean Lee's out of that part of Pennsylvania, right? Sean Lee?
He is.
Massively different than Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's Micah's Philadelphia area, right?
Yeah.
Where Micah's from. Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We know that from all the Sixers jerseys he wears at Mavs games.
Do you guys, if they called and said, let's do a coaching swap, Tomlin comes to Dallas and Mike goes to...
He was talking about, he must not have watched Dallas play much offense.
He's a good caller. He's probably speaking his language.
I kind of used to bad offense.
I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit.
It'd be an improvement, probably.